Our subject today is spiritual illumination. If this morning when you awakened, you looked around to find something that God had forgotten to do so that you could do it, you would have been very disappointed, because everywhere that you might go, you would have discovered that there was nothing God had forgotten. At least not in His universe. Now you might have seen many things in your universe that you felt needed repairs. And if you had stopped another moment and said, am I looking in the universe of the Father, or in my universe, you'd have seen that there was nothing. Nothing in the entire world of God that had been undone, incomplete, needing a human being to complete it for Him. And if you had further pursued this line of thought, you might have reached the realization that all that exists is the universe of God. That all that exists is reality. And reality being God's universe, being perfect, there was nothing that had been forgotten by God, and nothing that any of us could now do to improve God's real universe. If you had reached this decision within yourself, that I am now in the real universe, and there's nothing in God's real universe that needs improvement, and therefore, what are these things that I see that need improvement? What are the problems that I encounter? What are the diseased bodies that I see? What are the confusions in world affairs that stare me in the face? Where are these if all that exists is reality? And then you come to a startling realization. Joel phrased it this way: about 500 years B.C., there was a story about a man who took a bath. And in stepping out of the tub, he stepped on a rope, which to him appeared to be a saint. And he went through all kinds of agony and terror, anticipating the horrible things that would happen to him because of this snake that he had stepped upon. But when he came out of the illusion, out of the hypnosis, and realized that the rope was a rope, not a snake, once more tranquility came upon him. And this story of the ancients was meant to show us that we as human beings are constantly falling for the old Hindu rope trick. We see a snake where there is a rope. We see it wriggle. We see it threaten. We see it terrorize us. And of course, the word rope means reality. And the word snake means our mortal concept of reality. When you awaken this morning, if you did not know that this is God's real universe, then you were taken in by the Hindu rope trick. It didn't have to be a rope that you stepped upon. It could be a mortal world that you looked upon. And this is as much the illusion of a snake where there is only a rope. In fact, that's the purpose of the story. Now let's update the old rope trick into our modern day. For example, many of you are under the opinion that you saw the astronauts go up to the moon. You looked on your television set and there they were. I'd like you to see how this hidden rope trick works in our world. Of course, the moon couldn't fit on your television screen, you realize that. So the best you could see of the moon would be a picture about it. Never the moon itself. It stayed where it was, a quarter billion miles away. But you may have seen a little corner of a picture about it on your screen. You may have thrown a rock into the screen at the astronaut who stood on the moon. And you can be sure that that rock would not have hurt him one bit. You were looking at an image about an astronaut. Now, while we're busy looking at these images, our mind is not making the distinction, and we are confusing reality with appearance. We are judging. And so we see an astronaut standing on the moon. We look at the image of a man. And for the moment, the Hindu rope trick is working. We are seeing in our mind a man, not an image of a man. And we see another man come along and they talk. And again, we are seeing two men in our mind, but in reality we are seeing two images. Now, what can the image on your screen do of itself? Can it make a decision? Can it decide to walk off the screen? Can you converse with it? It is there. It has eyes and ears. It has legs. It walks. But does it walk? Somewhere else, a quarter billion miles away, a man is walking. And the photograph of that televised to your screen shows you a man walking on your screen. But the activity, the source of it, is one quarter billion miles away, not on your screen. That's the result of the activity, a quarter billion miles away. Now, if these two men on your screen should turn and talk to each other, you would be under the illusion that they were speaking to each other. But can images speak to each other? There's a mouth opening and closing, and you hear a voice. Are you hearing the voice of an image? And there's another ear responding to what the mouth of one is saying. That too is the illusion. The image cannot hear, but it has an ear. It has a picture called an ear. It has a picture called a mouth. Always, that which happens on the screen depends completely upon that which is happening a quarter billion miles away. And now, if by chance a third man should appear on the moon, a third man will appear on your screen. And if by chance the first man should walk away, then the first man on your screen will walk away. Always, the image cannot initiate an action. The image cannot speak. The image cannot hear. The image cannot be born and it cannot die. It can do nothing of itself. When this sinks in, that behind the image there must be another activity in order for the image to appear, then you are ready to look at the human race. and realize that behind that which appears, there must be another activity for that which appears to be here. The human image of itself can do nothing. It has no power to initiate an action. It thinks it has. Just as you see one astronaut walk on a screen and realize that that which is walking on the screen did not initiate the action, so Jesus could look at a mortal being and see that that mortal being was an image on a screen with only the apparent power to initiate an action. You might say that he discovered cosmic television. Now, the reason we're pursuing this line of discussion is to bring home with finality the illusion of mortal form, because all spiritual illumination is, when you get right down to what it specifically is the realization that spirit is all there is. To be spiritually illumined is to know that only spirit is. And that leaves you with an entire human race of mortal, dying matter. And as long as you have this human race of dying matter in consciousness, you are looking at the TV screen and seeing the image and confusing it with the invisible reality which makes the image possible. So that if you were to stand before those who were dying and you accepted the dying form as the reality of these individuals, you would not raise the dead. But if you were to stand there and see the immortal selfhood, which is being imitated by the mortal appearance, then you would have the true picture, and you could speak within yourself to your immortal self, activating the invisible Christ of the so-called dead. And the response of the immortal selfhood in the so-called dead would be possible only because you had seen past the television screen, past the mortal selfhood that appears before you, to realize where it came from, how it came there, what it is, and that behind it is that which is called the living Christ, that which did not get born into a mortal body, that which cannot die when the mortal body disappears. And then you would begin applying this to yourself. I, a TV image? Yes, it will help you to realize that your mortal selfhood is a TV image, that it exists only on the screen of time and space. It is televised by a cosmic mind. And that television program, which began with time and space, is the mist which is lying about your immortal self. The immortal self that stands where the image appears to be. And if you cannot find a way to identify the image, you will not find a way to identify the reality behind the image. Now, in this image comes birth, and then the image disappears into death. And if you identify with that birth, that progression of mortal growth, and that ultimate death, You have accepted mortal existence. And God being immortal, and God being all, you have accepted existence which is not in God. You have accepted the cosmic image, which appears localized as yourself. The great achievement of Jesus was to come forth from this cosmic image, to see past mortality, and to see that there is another channel other than the channel of cosmic television, of a cosmic mind which is imitating something. So the final image appearing out here, which appears to be you, is the imitation of something. That which your mortal existence is imitating is your true self. And that true self stands where the cosmic mind receives it, redigests it, photographs it, televises it through time and space, and out it comes as the birth of you. And up it grows in this cosmic mind. And all that remains in this cosmic mind must remain an image in the cosmic mind. An image which does not know its identity and can of its own self do nothing, although it seems to be able to do many things. It thinks that it can talk. It thinks that it can see and hear. It thinks that it can move. But everything that it does is completely controlled by the cosmic mind which gave it birth. So we find many phrases directed to the mind which governs this image. Son, all that I have is thine. Thou art ever with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because the image, unaware it is an image, now invents a God. It invents a God and it worships the God of its own invention. Not knowing that it is an image, and that all that it thinks and does is now part of the image and is completely controlled. It lives its own individual existence in the belief that it has one. It has no awareness that the nature of God being one universal self, there is no separate individual. And the same image talks about spiritual illumination. It seeks its creature comforts. It seeks to find some form of stability in a world it doesn't comprehend. But there is an invisible teacher. It says you're on the wrong channel. The channel you are on is this world. This world is not my kingdom. It is not my channel. My channel is not the world, it is the Word. Just get that L out of there and you're right back where you belong. The Word is the channel of the Father. From the Word comes the divine image, which is not transient. And as you rest in the knowledge that the divine image is being imitated by the cosmic mind, and that imitation is coming forth as you, you have your finger on the pulse of the only problem that exists in this world. The image must destroy itself. The image must die, that the truth behind the image may live. The image must recognize that material selfhood is not the divine creation. It is the cosmic recreation. The image must recognize that as long as I live in the belief that I of mine own self have power, have life, have initiative, have the ability to think, I will remain in the cosmic mind, and no matter how high I rise, I will never be more than an image. In my greatest success, I will be an image. And someday the cosmic mind will move in a certain way and my image will disappear from time and space. That which is immortal does not create that which dies. That which is immortal does not create mortality. That which is spirit never becomes dying matter. Therefore, the reality of me, for I have all the gifts of God, the reality of me is the full spiritual creation of the Father. Now I can look at this image and recognize that it has been living on a false mind, a false life, a false personal self. And it is the personal self that must become extinct. There can be no personal self apart from divinity. You see, we're reaching now for that illumination which dispels the false sense of life, the false personal sense, and reveals the immortal reality of that which is undying, that which is without problems, that which needs no God because it is the very life of God itself. To worship God, John told us, we must worship in truth and in spirit. To worship in truth means that you must have truth in your consciousness. To worship in spirit means that you must be spirit, and you must worship out of your spiritual consciousness. And that's the destroying of the material consciousness and the material selfhood and the material concept of self. Now this entire world and all that it contains is one television program which Jesus rejected. It is not my kingdom. None of it, the mortality, the mentality, the mortal experience, the progression from birth to death, the reincarnation, all of a material existence is a world image of the world consciousness, from which we are told to stand ye forth and be separate. To tune into another sequence which is called the divine. The divine is issuing its program. The divine is sending forth its truth, its reality, its creation. And as long as you remain in the human mind, you will remain a captive prisoner in the cosmic mind, which functions the human mind. Even if you are a positive thinker, you are still in the human mind, which is governed by the cosmic mind, and the same illusion of the senses takes place. Even the positive thinker is dwelling in the five-sense world of images. Now, this is the totality of what confronts us as we live in the world of images, of matter, of mortality, of personal self. The extinction of that personal self was heralded by the words, "If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you." And the I, in this case, is the personal sense. If the personal sense goes not away, the illumination, the Christ consciousness, will not come unto you. The moment you even have a human need, you are confirming the personal sense of life. As you go out to make demonstrations, you're not making divine demonstrations, you're making human demonstrations. The need and desire to make demonstrations is again the glorification of a personal self. We like to think that we're doing it to show the glory of God, but we're not. Spirit doesn't make demonstrations. It doesn't have to. Spirit doesn't demonstrate. Spirit is. And when you come above the need to demonstrate anything, especially the need to make these repeated demonstrations, then you realize you have accepted not the image self, not the personal self, but the reality, the spiritual self. I, the spirit, am the living substance of God. What shall I demonstrate? All that the Father has, I possess. The gifts of God are already mine. The need to demonstrate is a second self that has not accepted its divinity. And so we come above the need to demonstrate. But rather we come to the realization that in overcoming the world, we overcome the false image of self, we overcome the personal self that today is going out into the world. It's going to improve something. It's going to be successful. It's going to attract something good to itself. That self is the image of the cosmic mind. That self is falling for the Hindu rope trick. That self is not seeing spirit. It is seeing a material me. It is not seeing a rope, it is seeing a snake. Sometimes it sees nice things, but it still is not seeing the spiritual reality of its own being. It is always making mortality necessary. Now, as you sit back behind this, in the realization that God is being God, Spirit is being Spirit, Spirit is all there is, look out at the snakes of this world and see the rope. pray by recognition of spirit behind flesh. Take and translate every snake into a rope. Is there evil on this earth? Then you are being taken in by the trick. You are denying the allness of God, the allness of spirit. Immediately translate every error by the recognition that I'm not stepping on a rope and calling it a snake. I'm looking at that which the world calls an error. And I am seeing that which is there. I am seeing the immortal reality that is inherent and latent in each individual that walks the earth. Where the world sees a war, it's looking at a snake. You must look not at the war, not at the images on the TV screen, and see that there is no life in these images on the screen. There is no life in mortality. Mortality is lifeless. There can be no divine life in mortality. There can be no divine life in dying matter. There can be no divine life in a body of flesh. We have to face that. When you make the mistake of thinking that there is life in a body of flesh, then you have brought your concept of divinity down to a finite lie about the Father. I, said the Master, have come to bear witness to the truth. And so praying without ceasing, ye shall know the truth. And that prayer without ceasing is the constant capacity to translate the material world of images that stands before you into the spiritual reality that is under the law of God. Now, where did the spiritual reality go? If you threw your TV set away, there would still be astronauts on the moon while you were looking. They didn't depend on what you saw on your TV set. If you threw away every human concept, reality would still be here. Spirit would still be here. Your immortal selfhood would still be here. Now, as you stand in your immortal selfhood, releasing your human mind, you are releasing the power of the cosmic mind to televise to your human mind its cosmic error, its cosmic imitation. You are stepping away from the cosmic TV channel of this world, taking no human thought. And now the divine mind, which is ever maintaining its perfect formation, which are the only formations that have reality, the divine mind will reveal itself unto you as your mind. It will reveal its formations unto you. The light of divinity will be born in consciousness. And the light in consciousness will do for you exactly what cosmic mind had been doing to create false images. The light in consciousness will form itself as the divine formations of your real life. The light in your consciousness becomes your vision. The light in your consciousness becomes your hearing. The light in your consciousness becomes not the darkness of the five senses, but the light of the infinite, revealing a perfect universe, right where the human eyes had seen one with wars and diseases and disasters. The light in consciousness comes through, dissolving for you the darkness of the senses. The miracle of this is that when it happens, you are looking one moment at something which was diseased or destructive, and in just one second before your startled eyes, the very opposite is true. I have had confirmed stories and have borne witness to some. Take the case of the dog that kills kittens. Here's this dog with a dead kitten in its mouth. And yet you know that isn't so. That's a picture on a television screen. There is no destruction in divinity. There is no destruction in spirit. What are you looking with? Are you looking from the physical eyes of a mortal image? Then you will see the dog with a kitten in its mouth. And yet in spiritual consciousness, you will see that dog without a kitten in its mouth and be startled by it. And yet know it is true. The change is instantaneous. One second, you can see someone on a porch ranting their lungs, angry at the world, shouting at the children. And in another second, as your spiritual consciousness looks inside, something happens to that person. Turns around and is perfectly happy about the whole world, has no complaint. The changes sometimes are so spontaneous that we call them instantaneous healing. But these are only little markers along the road. You have within you the power of God. And whether that power comes forth into your experience or not is going to depend completely upon whether you are the spiritual Son of God or a TV image. If you're a TV image, you're not under the law of God. If you're a TV image, God isn't interested in whether you're assassinated or not. If you're a TV image, every disease on the face of the earth that is in the cosmic mind has an opportunity to find its way to your door. Because that TV mind is going to broadcast its beliefs. And everything tuned into that TV channel is going to receive its percentage. And it's going to show forth on the screen of your life. To step out of mortality, to step out of mentality, to step out of humanhood, this is the way to spiritual illumination. And the more we try to cling to making a better mortal existence, the more we are taken in by the rope trick. Because that's the very decoy which compels us to live out our days in a dreary mortal existence, when the full joyous abundance of spiritual life is the very reality of you which the mortal existence is imitating. You're living in an imitation of yourself. this has ever been the case with mortal man. Living in an imitation of himself, but knowing it not, he has ever lived with an imitation God invented by that imitation self. A God that he prayed to, who never heard him. Now, the one spiritual being is God. The one spiritual substance is God. The one spiritual life is God. The one spiritual power is God. The one spiritual vision is God. The one spiritual ear is God. There is only one. And if you're not that one, you're the cosmic image, which is imitating that one. Now, when I, the personal sense of self, go away, the new faculty is born within you. Christ born within you, born within your consciousness, Christ revealed, takes you in a new path, a new universe, a new life, a new experience, above the five senses. This new existence is your ever-present reality. The work that you do to live in it has nothing to do with what you do outside in the world. It has to do with what you do within your own consciousness. In your consciousness, the work is done. It is there that you make the changes. It is there that you step out of the false beliefs. It is there that you release the power of the Christ. All is done within your consciousness. This is your church. And this becomes your heaven. Pray without ceasing in a meekness which is not struggling to make a demonstration, but rather it is a denial of the personal self. The personal mind, the personal body, the personal life. Now, when you give yourself the luxury of no personal sense, you can quickly feel the infinite scope of your own being. The moment the limited self is withdrawn from consciousness, the unlimited self begins. You can hear the voice all around you. It has never stopped. You can feel that around you there are not walls of matter. If there are any walls at all, they're walls of the Word. All around you, these invisible walls of the Word are speaking. You're walking through them. They surround you. They embrace you. All around you is love. All around you is light. All around you is purity. All around you is spirit and all that it is. The image does not try to write the television program. The image merely lets the program do its own work. And we now learn to let the Spirit live us. For we are the divine image. We rest in the infinite Spirit. Our illumination must come from the resting of all of the concepts, of all of the densities, of all of the darknesses, of all of the five sense beliefs, we are preparing the way for a new image, a divine image, an image under grace, an image that wasn't born, an image that cannot die. We are preparing the way for a form of the soul to appear, a Christ form that lives in complete unison with the infinite spirit, knowing only the one perfect eternal life, a form which is completely independent of every law of matter, completely independent of a cosmic mind, a form which knows nothing about an interrupted heartbeat, a form which knows nothing about any defect of any kind. That invisible form is your true form. It is not an image on cosmic television. It is not a snake. It is not an imitation about something else. It is the reality itself. It is the one. You must claim that one. And in the prayer without ceasing, you will look at those things which deny you to be that one and see that they are ropes pretending to be snakes. For all that exists is the purity of spirit. There is no other existence. When this is your consciousness, you are in your state of illumination. Then you can say, I am the light. The light is my being. And the light is not dependent upon mortal man, mortal circumstances, mortal beliefs. The light is the expression of God. God expresses as the light of my being. I am the light of the world. I cannot be a false TV image. I cannot be a mortal being. I cannot be dying matter. I cannot be defective. For the divine light is the perfect image and likeness of the Father. We are worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. We are not in a body of flesh. We are not in a human mind. We are the divine mind, being itself, expressing its own ideas. We are one with each other. We are not separate lives. We are one infinite life without interruption. And we can look at the world of material things and see it as an imitation of that which we are. Then we have the secret of the illusion of this world. It is the imitation about the I of our being. You can walk in that world when you know you're not of it, that it is only imitating you, and then that which is imitating you cannot frighten you. You won't be frightened by that which is imitating your own perfect being. You can look at the imitation and see the immortal selfhood behind it. So we're approaching that scope of understanding within us that enables us to live in this world but not of it, to appear as an image in it with the knowledge that we are the perfect spiritual infinite self. This is going to release the activity of the soul. Divine consciousness through the soul will function, and the mind will receive its instructions from divinity. The body will follow. Even mortality appearing as you will respond to your true selfhood, so that the outer man will be working hitherto with the inner reality. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Not flesh that will die. We are accepting divinity, spirituality. We are not worshiping with words. That which the Father is, the Son is. And I and the Father are the invisible Spirit, the light of the world, the One, the Eternal, that which can never be defective in any way, and all external defects are now seen to be images on a television screen of the mind. Not mine. They are visible imitations about what I am. Now we're not seeking to improve anything. What shall we improve? I already am the perfect Spirit of God. I have sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As I rest in this Spirit, there is nothing to seek. The light within my own consciousness will now externalize. It will form itself in the divine image on earth. It will walk this earth under grace. The things that are needed will appear, for the intelligence of the light becomes the law. You are living from your invisible center, your infinite selfhood. Instead of being illuminated, you are the light itself. And that light will come through the human self that appears out there to the world, showing forth the harmonies, the sequence of divine thought as it moves through you. You are a transparency for the infinite invisible. If you were to be in that state of human thought now that wants to improve yourself, that wants to take care of tomorrow, that wants to plan, that wants to be successful, you would be falling for the trick, the decoy, which is ever coming through to make you believe you are a human being. If you can resist that temptation, you'll find you're never begging for bread anyway. The moment the light of you is recognized, you're in righteousness. And that righteous man will always have the added things. Now, we've come very quickly today to the core of this message then. You are the light, not the matter. And if you have been caught up in a personal self, the Comforter cannot come unto you. The Christ cannot rise and become your living consciousness. Put that first then on your list. Personal self is the barrier to Christ consciousness. Human ego, human fear, human belief in a physical me. And let your every concentrated activity be the realization that God is functioning now, expressing now, truth is expressing now, shining and standing right where the world sees me. Never will God stop functioning where I am standing. Never will truth stop expressing where you are. It is impossible. But your personal self removed is the stone that must be rolled away for this truth, this divinity, to shine forth for others to see it, for you to experience it, for the duality of a mortal existence in an immortal universe to be broken up, so that the life of God as you becomes the only life you know. Let's be still with that before we have an intermission.